Hello all, welcome to the Lunar Sea Spire Cartoon Fan Podcast. This is episode 498, and today we'll be talking about Swellington Boots from Summer Camp Island. I'm GC13.
And I'm David.
I know Susie at one point just took over the show to become the main character, but like, I know we had all that time with her in the Metaphysical Reserve, but she feels like the mainest of main characters in this episode, you know?
It's funny that this is the episode you're noting that in, because I think I really actually had the same thought. Maybe it's just that from the opening moments, it is Susie framed in the center. But I guess heading into the finale of the show, this wouldn't have been my expectation, right? Coming all the way from season one. I think firmly now it is Susie's time, and this is about Susie's journey at the end.
I mean, we get that amazing thing with her ditching them all, you know, making them safe and then confronting the tornado. Hello, old friend. So that's a great way to end the episode. But, you know, I think it's that it's finally Susie's time to grow as a character. You know, she's finally getting a real arc that makes it feel like she's truly become a main character now. Like, she has all the elements of a main character with this growth now.
Yeah, it's funny. Oscar and Hedgehog already had their moments in the show where they did the final moments of growing they needed to do, at least as far as for the arcs that were set up for them, right? Hedgehog figured out how to deal with her mother, figured out what she wanted from life, figured out what her life would look like if she were to just completely take charge and ditch any direction from her mom. And Oscar is just Oscar. And he's still just Oscar in this episode too. He's totally comfortable with being himself, and he does his best to give emotional guidance. It seems like he could still even learn more from that voice of his mom in his head, because his mom's the one who breaks through to Susie.
Yeah, rare glowworm fail from Oscar in this episode. He is so fixated on the task of saving magic that he forgets to fix the human, or in this case, the cat girl. He forgets that, you know, Susie's emotional state needs attention, and that's usually what he's all about providing. He'll let other people be responsible, but he's out of his element here, just like Susie is struggling to get out of her boots.
He is. He is also still trying to do something more than being a glowworm. Like, he wants to be helpful to saving magic. He takes that responsibility seriously. He's the one asking about the Miracle Rabbit's last words. He's asking Hedgehog whether he can be more helpful than just holding his fingers in a book about the island, which Hedgehog still gives some nice feedback on.
That is epic bookmarking that he did there.
He's got all 10 fingers going. But yeah, so it's funny that while Susie's, you know, arc is reaching its climax, Oscar is shown to just always be ever more helpful, always trying to grow. And that's cool. And meanwhile, Hedgehog's good. Hedgehog's so far good. She is just doing what she needs to do. She is being creative. She is, I guess, showing an improvement over, you know, she just kind of went through her big thing of, how do I be the big witch on my own and solve the problems when Susie's gone? And, well, hey, Susie's gone again.
Trust your instincts, Hedgehog. Right. Trust your instincts.
And now she can do that, which is cool, and actually is a little bit subtle, because I wasn't really thinking about it. But, yeah, she just struggled with that, and now no problem. Susie's off effing with her boots. No problem, you know? Hedgehog's got it down. She's creative enough to think about, you know, that there might be a power switch. I was really interested to see that.
Yeah, a circuit breaker, baby.
Yeah. The schematics of the island, I was like, oh, are they going to last second try to pitch magic as sci-fi? And I'm glad no, the answer is no. The magical map of the island just looks as convoluted and magical as you'd expect it to be.
We have mentioned Oscar's wonderful parents already, and I think they deserve a dedicated shout out. Sue is such a good coach, and you just You just love how Doug just rolls with the punches. Where they're like, oh, but the monsters are off in their duplex. He's like, oh, if you don't like that, well, how about this then?
he tries his best to work with kids. I love that.
I think Doug's a legend.
Honestly, Oscar's parents are legends. Like, I understand why Oscar is the child he is, because he's had such a beautiful existence provided by his parents. I wouldn't want to grow up either. You know?
Yep. A lot of people, they're kind of ashamed. They're wondering, you know, are they good enough? They hide parts of themselves that they don't think people will respond well to. Oscar's like, no, man, my parents love everything about me, so you're going to get the undiluted Oscar experience.
Yeah, it pretty much boils down to that, doesn't it? Oscar is open because, and freely giving, because that's what his parents provide for him.
There is no fear of rejection in him, because he does not experience rejection at all.
It's so nice, though, because also, it's great that Oscar's parents were the ones who were here seeing Susie's breakdown, seeing, you know, how the island is really run by kids.
Can you imagine if it was Lucy's mother who was there? Ugh, ugly scene.
Definitely. It's very purposeful that Oscar's parents are the ones here at the end. They're just so much fun to have reacting to magic, non-magic, and being helpful. Although, I have to call out a weird, you know, we always got to point out some weird little cartoon error. Oscar's mom says she's battened down to all the rest of the windows. And in the scene she's saying that, there's just a window.
Ever. Yeah.
There's a giant window uncovered.
Yep. Terrible. Literally unwatchable.
Literally unwatchable. I mean, it is weird. Someone editing that scene, coloring it, something, adding this rain sound effects, had to think, why is she saying this? So, I don't know. I don't know what that is at the end. It's not a joke. I think it's just a mistake or just a weird choice of dialogue. Like, who knows?
You want to talk about weird dialogue. I loved Susie's little explanation of where battening down the hatches comes from. Even in her emotional wreck of a state, she has to have an answer for these kids. She can't just say, I don't know. That is so Susie.
Do you think that's performative with the parents?
I don't think she's putting on an act for the parents. I think this is just Susie has to know, even if she doesn't.
Yeah, that was honestly, I think, the standout moment of the episode for me. I loved Bat, you know, the animal, hatches. Forget the word hatches, just hat, you know, hats.
10 from the Latin 10, meaning 10.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Ah, glorious. And we talked about it last week, but not all magic is gone. Not only is her tornado of her despair over how she treated Mildred still around, but her ghost of grief for how she felt over losing Ramona is still running around. Ghost the boy was too strong to be banished by the mere banishment of magic.
Yes, it's all stuff related to Susie. And there's probably nothing too deep about it other than, yeah, I don't know, all of Susie's baggage is not going away. Even when magic is gone, Susie still has to face this crap, so.
It's very strong baggage. And I do like the symbolism there, that she just has to face this even if she's just a mundane now. She's just a normal.
Yep, even the normals have to deal with taking off their boots and their giant tornadoes and ghostly mm-hmm. representations of their grief.
At least Betsy gets a happy ending.
Does it mean anything that Betsy tries dating her grief? Does that mean anything? I don't know if that part's symbolic. I've never broken that down before in my head.
You know, I don't think we should read too much into it. He's just a nice guy. Remember, he is a therapist, first and foremost. He's not so much a representation of her grief. He is a therapist that was summoned when she needed one.
Right. Yeah, it's funny because obviously Susie at one point did see him as that, or at least, I mean, maybe she just didn't want the therapy, but...
Well, therapy, you gotta talk it out, and she does not want to talk about it. So To Susie, really, there is no distinction. Like, he is her grief, even because he wants to make her think about the thing that she really would just like, would just really just rather repress. That is Susie's coping mechanism. I think, as we've established, maybe not the greatest coping mechanism.
No. Poor girl.
Poor girl.
Also, I don't know if this is symbolic, but for some reason when Susie's at her really low point crying on the floor, there just is a book about divorce on the floor.
I saw that and I was wondering. What is happening? I was wondering about that.
Yeah, like that feels like an art piece there. I don't know. Someone had to write that there. I don't know what that could mean.
The only other book title that jumped out at me was Boy Stuff. So, you know.
Yeah. Any X stuff book titles pretty much do it for me.
having fun with the books again. A little bit of a summer Camp Island tradition this season.
Yeah. Well, if we're just going for labeled things too, I love the baby corner. Is this a return? Have we already seen the baby corner in the library?
Yes, yes. Okay. I remember the baby corner. They had an entire episode in the library, remember? I think that was the first time we met Stuart.
Yes.
He's in the Iron Bladder Society.
Yeah, I remember some of those pieces. I don't remember the basement either, but...
I don't think we got to see the basement, but I do remember the baby corner.
Which, of course, all the OGs have to go to. I love that it's just the the OGs here, which I don't think there are any campers that aren't the OGs.
Well, I think she's just distinguishing them from the parents. We have the parents who are here, and then we have everyone else who is here with us. But we've danced around it all this time. We can't avoid it anymore, David. Pepper tried to confess his love to Susie, and she didn't want to hear it. She slammed the door right in his face.
Yes, this is the secret arc that's been playing out episode to episode. And this is its ultimate conclusion. Pepper gains the bravery to say, I love you. I can't help but feel, it's just such a perfect, mild parody of how so many other children's cartoons, like, this is a big moment for these characters. Like, I think of one of my favorite childhood cartoons, Hey Arnold, which, featured tension in that show is Hilda just want, Hil- oh my god, I just called her Hilda. Helga. Helga wants to pronounce her love.
That's in a few weeks from now.
Yes, we are going to be talking about Hilda on Netflix soon again. But yeah, Helga wants to profess her love so badly. And this is like the thing that keeps coming up and maybe almost happens. And then, maybe there'll be a movie or a finale where she does, maybe get to profess her love. And meanwhile, Pepper, like, this is the big moment. Like, again and again in kids shows, I think the same thing with like Fairly Odd Parents. Like, is Timmy going to be able to get his crush out to Tina? Trixie. Trixie Tang is it. That's the lady. Anyway, so wow, we're on a roll with remembering 20-year-old cartoons.
Oh, we're good at that.
The point is, I just love that here we have Pepper in his heart. This is a huge moment. And Susie has way more important business to take care of, and I don't know, like, if you asked Susie right now in this episode, hey, have you noticed Pepper's advances on you, the answer would definitely be no. This is going completely unnoticed. The poor child.
It'd be like that guy who keeps trying to get Jake to notice him. Do you remember me, Jake? No.
Hey, he comes back though.
Yes.
Is that Mao? What's his name? The assassin, right?
No, not me, Mao. This is just some angry squirrel.
Oh yeah. Oh my gosh.
But I do have a little bit of hope for Pepper. Every time I see this scene, I notice he may be trying to confess to Susie, but he's holding hands with Susie's much more age appropriate for him sister. So. Maybe he'll look elsewhere.
Although, in the grand scheme of things, they are both hundreds of years older than him. So the difference is, like, 3 to 4 years, right? Are they like 12 and 15?
Okay, to be fair, it's really not like Mildred spent hundreds of months living as a jar guard. It's like she lived the same month hundreds of times.
Yeah, she hasn't developed much.
He has a much better shot with Mildred, I think.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, and that was a great tiny moment with Mildred, too. Like, she tried to help with the boots by removing Susie's boot like a jar lid.
Yep, using all of her jar-based knowledge to assist her sister.
That's kind of a bummer that her life has been about jars for most of it.
And she's trying to make her feel better about losing the magic, and A, that's not making her feel better, and then B, again, Mildred, we can tell you're kind of not okay about this. You're trying to tell us you're okay. That means you aren't.
Definitely.
And again, Susie picks up on that and feels guilty about it, and that makes the swelling in her feet even worse. But by the end, she seriouses up, and she's ready to face her tornado.
And she's still ticked that it was so easy to put the boots back on. I really appreciate that after learning the, you know, emotional lesson, she's still Susie, and she can still be peeved that, you know, the boots are stupid at the end of the day. You know, boots are still stupid.
I mean, Susie's gonna Suze. She's just built that way. She is not an Oscar.
So yeah, now she's just gonna defeat a tornado with her hands, I guess, right? I mean, what are we even supposed to anticipate for the cliffhanger of this episode, you know?
She's gonna whip that bullhorn out, and she is gonna make that tornado feel so bad for messing with her. She spent a long time thinking up swear words to use on Mildred. Like, if she remembers even half of the ones she came up with, like, that tornado is gonna sulk away in shame. Anyway, guys, that's it for us on Swellington Boots. Join us next week. Until then, I'm GC13.
And I'm David. Don't forget to leave us a review anywhere you listen to podcasts.
Later, everybody.
Our opening and closing music is by Mark Soto. For more cartoon-related content, please visit LunarCeasefire.com.